Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text we're going to consider is the Old Testament lesson, Ezekiel chapter 37. As we make our way through the season of Lent, as we seek God's precious thoughts, that's what we heard yesterday from Psalm 139, that the Lord's thoughts about us were precious. As we pray, search me and try me. Those precious words come to us and, well, they can overwhelm us. The more time we spend in God's word, we can begin to feel and to begin to be overwhelmed by our sins, by our failings, even and especially those sins which seem to be persistent temptations and weaknesses. The Lutheran confessions make clear that God in his mercy does not all at one time make these things known to us. We get caught up every once in a while thinking about the one sin, the sin that bugs us, the thing that we seem to stumble into more often than not. And we think that if we just got rid of that sin, well, then things would be much better. But the Lutheran confessions say this. In the third place, what and how great this hereditary evil is, no reason knows and understands. But as the small called articles say, it must be learned and believed from the revelation of Scripture. And then later on, this damage is unspeakable and cannot be discerned by reason, but only from God's word. And so when we pray that God would give us his precious words, when we take those words up, they can be overwhelming. We begin to see things we hadn't noticed before. We begin to see relationships between sins. We begin to see that perhaps the reason we stumble into this sin is because there's some other stuff there that is causing us to stumble. So the depth of our sinful nature is not revealed to us except as God deigns to open our eyes, and that in a merciful way, and that in a way that understands that we would be overwhelmed and even despair completely if we came to understand just how deep and dark the sin goes. And so we pray with the psalmist in Psalm 139, that he would search me, test me, comprehend me, make known to me, reveal to me the troubles that rest in me. Search me and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the paths of everlasting life. Deal with me day by day, we pray, even when I begin to come to understand just how deep the sickness is and what it produces in me. When perhaps my life begins to feel a bit dry, when the bones seem to rattle, as I walk about on this earth and I fail and stumble, daily we sin much, Luther says in the Lord, in the section on baptism, my prayer is that there is always one who will speak to the bones. We forget that every human being who has ever come to faith has nothing more than a pile of dead bones to offer to God. Our sin has separated us from God, which means we are dead, dead, blind, and an enemy of God. And I don't know how deep the sickness goes, nor can I heal it. I cannot resolve to heal it or get rid of it by any work or act of the will or even by prayer. Rather, only God can bring healing to my sin-sick soul. Only God, through the word, can overcome this true pestilence. And so Ezekiel was taught these first things again in our text, for our benefit, but also for his and for the remnant of the people who were swept away into Babylon. They went into exile. He was a contemporary and a successor as a prophet of God, a contemporary of Jeremiah and a successor to Jeremiah. He lived with the people of God in Babylon. As the people were swept away and lived in exile, he was there with them. And of course, God did not let them go into that dark place where there were no churches per se, where there was no real means of grace except the words that the people had heard before, the words that the exiles brought with them, the words that they had set in their heart lest they sin against God. The people, the leaders at this time had failed miserably. The prophets, the false prophets, they were all swept away by Nebuchadnezzar. Zedekiah had his eyes gouged out as he watched, before he watched his, or after he watched his children and his family get killed. There seemed to be nothing that could stop any of this horrible exile. And Jeremiah told them, is directed by God, that there would be a pestilence and that they would not live unless they went with Nebuchadnezzar. And so their hope was not that somehow they could form an alliance, somehow they could fix the problem, somehow, but rather they were completely dependent upon God. They would have no priesthood. They would have no tabernacle to speak of. But still the people would have the word, even in this very faraway land. And the prophet whom God appointed, who would go with them into that land, and in a number of very odd kinds of visions, like this one about dead bones, remind them that no matter what it looks like to us, no matter how desolate it seems, no matter how difficult it seems to walk in the faith in this world, that the church, the light of God's love and mercy, will not go out. That the remnant who went there looking and having faith in the coming of the Christ would be fed and nurtured even in that place. That's where the synagogue would develop out of their time in Babylon. And so they would gather around the word and they would hear God's words and the dead bones that seemed to be all over the place would come to life. And others would then eventually come out of that community. Ezra, Nehemiah, and God would even use Cyrus, pagan king, Xerxes, others. The people suffered and struggled with the decimation that was around them, but God was telling them that their hope would not be in what they saw. They would not be in somehow overcoming this exile, for he said to them they would spend 70 years there, almost the length of somebody's life. They wouldn't be leaving until God was ready, but they would have the word that could make dead bones rise. Not just as we think of it today, and what we'll talk about in a minute, that baptism and renewal and all of those things, which we will get to, but literally bones would rise from the ground, bones that died far away from Jerusalem, far away from the bones of David and the others. God did not leave him or the remnant in despair. Speak to the bones, Jeremiah. Speak to the bones, for the word of God can make even dead people rise. God showed Ezekiel a vision to remind him of God's grace and mercy, which even this exile and sin cannot overcome. Look around you. What do you see? Dead bones, a church decimated with little strength. And so it seemed that the people would go on to their death. But that's never the case as long as the word of God is present. For even those who are dead can be raised to new life. As it happened to the little girl, as it happened in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, as it happened to Lazarus. And as we said the other day, they would die again. They would have to go through this death a second time as they waited for that last day when the Lord would call out and everyone who lived on this earth would rise. Through the preaching of Ezekiel, the apostles, and even those preaching today, even when the people of Israel seemed dead and lifeless, God said no. Just like he told Elijah, there are 7,000 who haven't bowed the knee to Baal. The preached word will go forth and bring life to the bones. The gates of hell will not prevail against the church. God's use of the Gentiles against the persecutors, the ridiculers, will only be used by God to serve the church and her mission in the world. For you see, God is single-minded. There is a reason why the world goes on. There is a reason why Nebuchadnezzar existed. And it wasn't self-determination. It was that God lifted him up to do his business, even with an errant child, even with an apostatized group of people like the people of Israel, in the midst of which lived a remnant, those who trusted and looked forward to Christ's coming. It's hard to believe that, except that this is what happened and is happening today in the U.S., as we light the world and proclaim the word. It's hard to believe when we think about this horrible virus and all the other things that go on in this world. We still are that light, and that's why things continue. The word goes forth and the dead are raised. First they come to faith, they're born again. Romans 6 says you were buried in baptism with Christ and then raised to newness of life. And then Jesus would tell us, when he talks to Martha and Mary, he will say that those who believe in me will never die. The interesting thing about this is that God is calling his people in Ezekiel, but also today, to the means of grace, to the only place where life is created, that life is sustained. Like the woman at the well, like the psalmist in Psalm 139, like all who follow, come see a man who told me everything I ever did, who knows the depths of my sin, who took them all to the cross and left them in the grave and rose and left them there, paid once for all. This one doesn't walk away from me. He doesn't walk away from his church no matter what it looks like. Sometimes the church cries out and says, Lord, where are you? And yet he is always faithful, even if we're unfaithful. He always stands in our midst, preaching repentance and faith, raising us from death to life. These bones rise, and we don't give up on the mission of the church, even here in this place. He comes to us sinners who stand here today, and we continue to learn the depths and failures that we walk with each day, even when we're stressed, and especially when we're stressed and tired, and he feeds and nurtures us with his true body and blood. And then those bones which lay out in the graveyard, the bones that we see as we leave church, the bones that are there laying out north of the church, of those who lived by every word that proceeded from the mouth of the Lord, of those who died trusting in the words and the promises of God, those bones will hear his voice at the end of time and will rise and receive new bodies. They will be re-sinewed, re-skinned, and they will receive a new breath Their bodies will be renewed, sin will be left behind, a life without tears, without pain, without sorrow, repentance and grief and contrition. These bones will rise, and sin will not get the better of them. For the word of the Lord will speak, and they will rise, and they will live forever. The Lord's word can even raise dry bones. The Lord's word can preach life into the hearts and minds of sinners. And so we never give up on that word. We listen for it. We listen to it. And it does what God wants in our hearts and our minds, even as we live in difficult times. They give us breath and spirit, even in the midst of this fallen world. Even when we are surrounded by so much that would seek to turn us away, the Lord is faithful. Even when we have been unfaithful, even when our sins seem to overwhelm us, he is faithful and reminds us that it is his faithfulness, his love, that overcomes even sin and death. So we gather, for we know God's will for us, and how he intends to raise us up daily as we live in repentance and forgiveness. And so also we walk through this world brave, fearless, not because of ourselves or our strength or our wisdom, but because he will keep us both now and forever in his love. Nothing, neither death nor life, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. We rejoice in those words and promise. Amen.